To go down there to look at the job tomorrow.
Tomorrow's good.
Tomorrow's good?
Yes.
Your love is like a fire. loving, sweet, sweet loving. So where we go, your love, we broke me. Come on, my love, it's a lot. Catch for it, you know, they're wrong, they didn't tell me. That's what them cause, them can hit us a charge. But you love to me, Almighty. Jesus, that I can love you, love
love is over our mission. Good over evil, righteous one. Just become fidelity, lover of my soul. No love of everything that good in the whole. This world we live in is full of sin. Oh, let your love begin to win the I
when my call is made. why don't we find more ways to change the lives of one another? I'd rather walk away, cause this is from yesterday. But somebody in a rage, probably didn't say, why, when we're judging, they don't have nobody. Push them further away from God, they lost no feeling, no feeling broken. Like there's nobody who understands the pain, and they just can't explain. Why, somebody in our rage, rubbish in the face. Who gives we the right to judge each other? Why can't we show the world and the world and the rest of the earth? I don't have them for fucking in the top guys. And I can know that they're going to bring to the place. She come with the guy, but this is a fake figure. Ain't what I need.
you
got me doing my best. Yeah, come back to the song, come back to the song.
I gotta give thanks to the Father for all he has done in my life. He brought me from the dark and he showed me the light. So that he keeps a smile on my face. Those bills can pay that, so my God can work it out. And if there are reasons of his miracles and wonders, let me hear you scream and shout. My God is a provider, a miracle worker. He is my guide to all of my tests. Oh yes, he's my shelter, he's my strong lover. He's my father and my best friend. So I love my God. And yes, I know my God is good. Oh, I know my God is good. And yes, I know my God is good. Hear me now. Oh, yes, you know that your God is good. I'm gonna say it all at once. Did you know that my God is good? Listen, I know that the devil will try to distract me. Oh, he see me so glad yet so happy. I'm not gonna worry about a thing, cause I serve the King of Kings, and I know he is on my side. So when things get rough, I just call on his name. When I pray, everything just seems to change. So Lord, I want to faith in you, cause I know that he comes through. Whenever that I need you, you are my provider. I'm my guide of you all of my death. Oh yes, you're my shelter and my strong tower. I'm my father and my best friend. So I know my God is good. Yes, I know my God is good. Oh, I know my God is good. And yes, I know my God is good.
Father, my Savior, my Lord, my soon coming King, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day that we have never seen before, this day that we will never, ever see again. Lord, we bless your name. We praise your name. We hold, glorify your name. Father, I pray for my son this morning, Benjamin. Lord, I pray that you give him wisdom. Lord, allow him to see and hear and speak, God,
allow him to slow down and wait on you, Lord. He has my spirit when I was a young man, all of my children and grandchildren. They want everything done like yesterday. They can't wait on the Lord. But I pray this morning, oh God, that you would allow him to wait on you, to wait on you. Glory to God. We want to. Lord, I just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the Lord and my Savior, my soon coming King, for your forgiveness. I pray for your mercy. I pray for your grace, Lord. Lord, I come this morning with a heart of repentance, asking you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. This soreness that's in my throat from this weather, Lord, I pray that you would heal this soreness. And Father, I pray, oh God, that you would be the lamp and the light unto my son's feet, unto his path, oh God, that he will not walk the wrong places. Lord, that he will trust you to help him in everything that he put his hands to. Lord, that he would focus on allowing you to rebuild his life, Lord God, that he would slow down and allow you to lead this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for healing all over this Blog Talk Radio. Lord, that the family will be healed this morning, oh God, in Jesus' holy name. We want to speak to you this morning. As the Lord bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clay. We want to speak to you this morning on the subject matter, the wicked and the righteous. The wicked and the righteous. And if the Lord allow me, I am going to go through some scriptures today. I'm probably going to do two parts of this. I don't know, maybe just one part, but according to how the Lord leads us. But we want to speak about the wicked and the righteous. And the reason why I believe the Lord gave us this is because there's so much wickedness going on in the world today. But there's also righteousness in the world. I want you to know this. There's also righteousness. The Bible says that where sin abound, grace abound even more. So we know that there is righteousness in the earth because God's people is in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are God's people, those that are saved and sanctified and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are God's people. We are not perfect, but we are being perfected. I want you to know that because sometimes folk are going to the house of the Lord or to the house of man, however you want to call it, and they get to a place where they begin to puff themselves and believe that they're better than everybody else. But I want to tell you that we are just a sin, one sin away from being condemned. We are just one sin away from being condemned. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Apostle? The devil is still tempting us. The devil is still trying us to see if we're going to stay steadfast, always abounding in the love of Christ. The devil wants to see if we are still going to stay steadfast, holding on to the hand of Jesus Christ, holding on to the hem of his garment, if we are going to still stand for the truth and not fall for the lie. The devil's going to try us. Hallelujah. The first thing you will get in the morning is that you'll get some temptation. That's the first thing. The last thing you'll get in the nighttime is some temptation. Why? Because the enemy, Satan, he is the enemy of the cross. He's wanting to take your focus off of what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus is doing for us. Hallelujah. He wants to make us feel that we are in all of this tribulation by ourselves. But the Bible said that Jesus will never leave us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. He said that he'll be with us even unto the end. So we have to have this in our mind. We must know this in our mind that Jesus is with us. The Spirit of the living God is with us. Now let's go into the book of Luke. This is the first scripture I want to go. If the Lord allow me to work this, we want to give you this. And this is about a rich man. You know, and we see that how the rich people are doing more and more to get richer, while the poor is getting poor. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says here in Luke chapter 12, and let's start at verse 13. They came to Jesus, okay? The people came to Jesus. Jesus was telling them, hey, this has five different parables going on in this chapter 12. But here in this chapter 12, God gave them he spoke to them about 10 different topics of hypocrisy in this chapter 12. Jesus talks to them about 12 different hypocrisies in this chapter. If you look from verse 1, you will see these people were very hypocritical. They were hypocrites. Hallelujah. They were saying one thing and doing something else. And this is what Jesus doesn't want us as his children to do. You have folk that are going to the church building. They're preachers. They're teachers. They're so-called apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers. And they're supposed to be, they preach the word. They sing the word. They dance the word. They play the word. Hallelujah. They play the keyboard. They play the drums. They play the saxophone. They play all of this stuff, all these instruments to make themselves look great. But in reality, they're not living the life that God called us to live. Hallelujah. I had to be checked many times. Many times I had to be checked in order to get myself on the path that I am. I was in and out, one foot in the world and one foot in the church building. But God, of course, he speaks about 10 different topics in this Luke chapter 12 of the hypocrisy of the people who are supposed to be saints, who are supposed to be men and women of valor in the gospel. But here what we want to talk about is the wickedness. We want to talk about the wicked and the righteous in this book of Luke. And then we're going to go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We want to go through a lot of books today to show you the wickedness that's in the world. This was not just back 7,000 years ago and not now. It is the same thing that happened back then is happening now. Solomon said there's nothing new underneath the sun. Somebody, I remember when I was a little boy growing up in the Caribbean, this lady we used to call her Tilly. That was a nickname we used to call her, Tilly. She lived to be 100 and some years. I can't remember, but she was very, very old and still had her P's and Q's together. I mean, she still could answer and still could tell you stuff. Very wise woman. And anything you wanted to know, you could go to Tilly and ask her. So, Grandma, so-and-so, and she had the answer. Love the Lord. Where Tilly used to talk about, they're going to be flying birds. He said they're going to be birds of steel that's going to be flying in the sky. But people used to look at her and seeing what this woman was talking about. But God had already given her a vision of airplanes. She used to call them birds, super birds, going to be flying in the air. Where she died, I don't think she lived to see the planes flying. But the planes flew. Maybe she lived, because I think we had a plane called the supersonic 727 jet. Was a big plane. When that came in, all people was on the streets when it first came to the country. It was so loud, and then, you know, when it came, it had to fly low to get to the base, and everybody was on the streets just applauding this big super plane passing through the sky. Well, Jesus said here in this book of Luke, verse 12, verse 13, listen to what he says. And one of the company said unto him, unto the people, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, these are two sons. And it seemed that their father had crossed over and leave them great inheritance. But one of the sons seemed to be in the book as in control. He's in control. He's the oldest son. You would say that. But he goes now to Jesus, the rabbi, in this time and asks him to tell to his brother to divide the inheritance that there is for both of them, divided between them. Jesus responds. Jesus responds, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, I'm not the judge over you. I'm not the one to come and tell you how to do your stuff. The Father does.
He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Take notice. Take notice. We are so stingy when it comes to giving. We have an excuse not to give. We want to have more and more. The more we get, the more we want. Jesus tell them that covetousness also means the word stinginess. Stingy, don't want to give. I'm not boasting, but if Dr. finally tell you how much money that we send to India and Africa and here in America, will blow your mind. Sometimes it's just as much money as some people making a paycheck that we send out every month. When the Lord blesses us, we send to different countries and the poor into the slums to help people pay rent, help people put food on the table, help people send their children to schools, buy books. We do this. Because why? We're working for the Lord. It's not about us. We're working for the Lord. The Bible says when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord and he will repay. And you can't beat, can't never. Or people say, don't matter how much you give. You can't beat God-given. You can't beat God-given. Give us this. You get to the poor. God says, look, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless her. I'm not going to let them run around saying they're taking care of the poor. No, no, I'm going to take care of the poor. Listen to what he says. See, a lot of people boasting about this thing and next thing. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to get together tomorrow evening. We get tomorrow night. Like they have a monopoly on tomorrow. They have a monopoly on tomorrow. How are we going to work it out? They're going to work it out. They plan to tell you what they're going to do. Like they set the time for their lives. I'll meet you at 9 o'clock. I'll meet you at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever time they want to, tomorrow. They go to sleep and don't wake up. Just cross over. Not even knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. But here, Jesus is speaking. He told them, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Jesus bringing in this analogy. And he's saying, look, this rich man, his land, he had this land that was very fertile. And then all the fruits and the vegetation began to grow countlessly. There was so much. Everywhere he looked, he can see fruits, he can see vegetation. Everything is growing, everything is blooming. The harvest plentiful. He don't have enough room to sow the little barn he has. So he said, look, let me just think to myself. I got to think fast. Let me think fast. Because things are growing so fast. Where am I going to do with all this stuff? He's not thinking about giving to the poor. He's not thinking about, look, let me call the neighbors and let them come and glean from all that I have. He's just thinking about themselves. You look at all of these people out there running for different offices in the government. These are super rich people. Most of them are very rich. They live in big mansions. But they will bother you all day long. Democrats, Republicans, all of them. Senators, congressmen, governors, presidential nominees, all of them would bother you on your phone, on your computer. They want you to donate $2, $5, $20, $50, $100. They go up to thousands. They want you to donate. But they're super rich. But they want to draw from the poor so they can get richer. I got one from a Democrat. Several from the Republicans. Nancy Pelosi, Biden, all of them, the senators. They say, this is the umpteenth time that we have sent you a request, but you're not responding to us, man. I just told as counsel, that stuff, delete that stuff. They send me stuff in the mail, send me membership cards in the mail, say that I'm a member for the Republican, member for the Democrat. I know they nominate me as a member for this side and next side, so I'm going to put that stuff in the trash. Man, look, these people are super rich people. We helping the poor. Then he said, this is a rich man. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I store all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? See what God said? The man said he's going to tear down his barns, his old barns, and he's going to build a new big, giant barn that he can store all his food for years. Then he's going to eat, and he's going to drink, and he's going to be merry. In other words, he's going to have a great, good time because he has more than enough. There's no place in this book, in this sermon, where he says, I'm going to give to the poor, to the needy. There's no place in here where he said, I'm going to go down to Skid Row and I'm going to look for all of those people that are sleeping underneath the bridges, sleeping in the cardboard boxes, sleeping in the mud huts, and I'm going to give them stuff that they can survive. All he thinks about is himself, the wicked. But that very night, that after he has stored everything, God called upon him soul. God called for him. Took life out of him. Then who would have all the stuff that he has stored up? People got money, millions in the bank. Some of them don't have no offsprings. My daughter in Georgia just sent me some pictures with my great-grandsons and my great-granddaughters, and they're so beautiful. I mean, they're so beautiful. And I was just sitting here thanking the Lord that I have seed in the earth, that when I go on from here, I got several generation of my families that's going to continue as the Lord leads. But God said unto him, thou fool. God called him a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided, which thou hast saved up? All the stuff you put inside the barn. So it is this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We ought to lay up treasures where neither moth, thieves nor moth can destroy. But we are trying to lay up treasures for ourselves, not knowing that we can be taken out of this world at any time. Any time. Let's go to Ecclesiastic chapter 1, and then go to Ecclesiastic chapter 8. Let's go to Ecclesiastic chapter 1 first, and then we'll go to 8. The word of God is so plain that everything that you want to know is in this book. Everything. You don't have to go too far. It says, God said it, I believe it, that says, chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to what he says. What profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What profit has a man? He said, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth and the sun goeth down and hasteneth hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth towards the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuit. All rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Listen to what God says. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. The preacher, the word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. See, why are we putting our minds on these things of this world? Why are we so caught up in this materialistic thing? God is saying to us, all things are vanity. We're talking about the wicked and the righteous. Here in chapter 8, let's flip over here to chapter 8. Here, King James Version, here let me say this. Chapter 8, let's start at verses 9. And hear what he says. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work. This is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth and another to his own heart. No, men are trying to do things according to their own belief. They're boasting on themselves. Now, I have thought deeply about all that goes on here under the sun, where people have the power to hurt each other. Verse 10 says, NLT, I have seen wicked people buried with honor, yet they were the very ones who frequented the temple and are now praised in the same city where they committed their crimes. This too is meaningless. I've been to homegoing services where we know that the person was extremely wicked. They cursed their parents. They abused the citizens in the neighborhoods. We know that they were wicked. But the preacher gets up there and speaks so good of them that you would think they was an archangel. Solomon says, I have seen wicked people buried with honor, yet they were the very ones who frequented the temple. They come and brought all types of problems in the house of the Lord. And are now praised in the same city where they committed their crimes. This too is meaningless. When a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. We're seeing it happen now in our nation. People are committing crime, and the DOJs, the prosecuting attorneys, are slapping them on the wrist. And they go right back on committing more crimes. But he says, when a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. They're going right back out. Because they know, look, well, I'm going to commit some more crime. Ain't nothing going to happen. The government's not going to, they're not going to lock me up. They're not going to keep me in. But even though a person sins 100 times and still lives a long time, I know that those who fear God will be better off. You might be saying, well, what? Some folk are committing so much crime, and they're living a long time. She said, man, I know him when he was, man, he was a wicked man. That man there, he was a wicked man. He's 90 years old, almost 100 years old, still alive. And you said to yourself, I can't understand how the wicked people live so long. But God tell you in the word. He tells you straight in the word, though. Look, they're gonna face judgment. They can't escape judgment. They may escape judgment here on the earth, but they can't escape judgment when the judge of all judges come. We say, look, glory to God. Listen. It says, verse 13, the wicked will not prosper, for they do not fear God. Their days will never grow long like the evening shadow. We said, but how come that the wicked seem like they have more than them? They have natural riches. Understand this. God is saying they will not prosper. They're not prospering spiritually. They may have BMWs and Lexus and Mercedes-Benz and Cadillacs and all this kind of stuff, Rolls Royce and stuff that we think about, we think is riches. You say, well, if you got all this stuff, you're really rich. That person really prospered. No, when you got God inside your heart, when you live in a righteous life, you are rich. You have more than enough. So he said, and this is not all that is meaningless in our world. In this life, good people are often treated as though they were wicked. And the wicked people are often treated as though they were good. This is so meaningless. You've seen it. I've seen it. You have seen good people being treated bad. You've seen it. And you've also seen people that are supposed to be good doing bad things. There's a pastor that they got now, has got him pasted all over the internet he's from Detroit. And he's being charged with a whole lot of an abuse. And how he robbed this old African American lady. Have her enticed her to put all of her savings and stuff, all of her property in his name. Con her out of all her stuff. So you can find that good people can do bad things and bad people can do good things. It's vice versa. But God wants us to operate under the realm of holiness. He wants us to operate in under his guidance, under his leading. This morning, the Lord gave me a word because we was having some problems with our son. He's not doing bad stuff, but he is very depressed. And because he wants everything to happen like yesterday. And that's the spirit that I had when I was a young man. If I wanted a car, I don't care if I had the money or not, but I got to get that car. I'm going to try everything that I can try to get that car. I can borrow, not steal, but I'll borrow and I'll use all types of tricks on the dealership and tell them stuff, forge stuff on my application, you know, lie on the application because I want to get that car. My son now, he wants to get a car. He's got a job, but his wife, she uses her car every day to go to her job, drop my granddaughter to school or to the babysitter or whatever. And she out of school now, but to the babysitter. And then she go to work. She's a producer in one of the list stations in Virginia. And so he had to ride his bike to some bus stop or place and tie up his bike, lock up his bike, and then he got to get a bus and go to Tyson's Corner. And you know, he's all frustrated. Well, his license, he lost the license, so he's paying a lot of money to get his license back, and then he got to go to this Al-Anon course you have to take on to, you know, go for like, I think it's a day or 2 days or something. You go to Al-Anon to go through all this course of teaching how to handle a car, how not to drive drunk and all that kind of stuff. And he is all depressed. And this one that I got up there, Lord, leaning on the bed, the Lord dropped to me, he says, and the word he put in my spirit, I posted on Facebook. Don't allow your flesh to take you where your spirit shouldn't go. Don't allow your flesh to take your spirit, man, where you shouldn't go. Allow the Lord to lead you. The Lord gave me that this morning. It was so powerful. Oh, I had to post it. I had to post it. Glory to God. A lot of times we're looking at the material things. And if we don't have those things, we don't think that we are prospering. We don't think that we fit in with the Joneses and the Jeffersons.
We want everything, and we want it now. We don't want to wait on God, and sometimes we find ourselves hurting people. You know, we say the song, we say the cliche, hurt people, you hear that? Hurt people. So we'll do whatever we got to do, if it even means hurting people, to get what we want. Not what we really need, but what we want. Because, see, if I could get the car that I want now, I look good in the neighborhood. You know, I got the Benz, you know, I got the Benz. I've always worn a Benz. This thing and that thing, you know. I said, well, after you get it, what you going to do? After a couple of weeks that you have the car, it becomes old. It loses the shine and loses the smell. And there's a new car coming out that of the same manufacturer. Maybe a same name, but all the design inside the car has changed. It's upgraded. What you going to do? So you're never satisfied. Just like hell, it's enlarging its mouth. It's never satisfied. It's never full. So we can't trust God to lead us and guide us and supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because why? We never satisfied. When he does one thing for us, we can't say, Lord, I just thank you. I praise you, God. I'm going to take care of this. My truck is a mess on the inside now. And I was just thinking about it because I've been running, doing jobs. I got to go side after service and the sun go down a little bit and put this and straighten up beside my truck because it's God's truck. I can't keep it like that. I got to keep it tidy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to what he says. Oh, my God, my God. He talking about the wicked. He talking about what's meaningless and what should be meaningful. And the things that are meaningful are the things that you're doing for God. When God is leading you, when God is leading us, we end up doing the thing that pleases God. When we're being led by our own emotions, we end up doing things that please us, but not pleasing to God. And a lot of leaders end up acting that way. They want to be like this bishop, this apostle, this prophet, this prophetess. Now I hear now that they have upgraded that Jonathan Carr. He has some chief apostle or bishop now or something. I saw him on YouTube with he's got this big fancy robe on, a big cross on his chest and something on mitre on his head and you know, all this stuff, and he acting up, got his hands full like he's so holy, you know. These folk, they forget that what God is calling for is not what man is calling for, because God's holiness is different than man's holiness. God's holiness is different. I'm not here to judge him or point finger, but you know your lifestyle speaks for itself. That's your worship. We're looking holy, we prophesying and all that kind of stuff, but God knows the truth. We got to get this thing right. We professing righteousness, but we're living unholy. And we point our fingers up everybody else because they seem like they're doing everything bad. We doing stuff bad. We got to point at ourselves first. Glory to God. So listen to what he says. The wicked will not prosper, for they do not fear God. Their days will never grow long like the evening shadows. And this is not all that is meaningless in our world. In this life, good people are often treated as though they are wicked, and wicked people are often treated as though they are good. This is so meaningless, Solomon says. So I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. He said, in my search for wisdom and in my observation of people's burdens here on earth, cover that there is ceaseless activity
day and night. People are constantly moving. If you ever been to New York, if you ever been to Washington, D.C., if you ever been to Boston, Massachusetts, Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas, Louisiana, New Orleans, if you ever been to Mississippi, you go to these states, these big states, California, you should go down to Arizona. You will see that these cities, they never stop. They're always moving. People never feel like people are not sleeping. I said, well, man, whatever time you go through those cities, people are moving. I said, wow, like people don't sleep. Day and night, he said, I realized that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest people discover everything, no matter what they claim. We always say that. We don't know it all. But I know someone who knows it all. That's why I got to stay connected to him. His name is Jesus, the God of our salvation. He knows it all. When we perfect that we are all this, we're so smart, we become them. God's the one who has it all. He has given us just a little inclination of his intelligence, just a little bit. So we don't walk around and push our chest up. Here is 1 Samuel. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Glory to God. 1 Samuel. In the book. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Glory to God. We're talking about the wicked and the wise. The wicked and the righteous. That same thing, wise. We want to show you this here. A lot of people are, and it's sad though, because when you think about the house of the Lord, I say sometimes the house of man. When you think about the house of man where they have worship on, and the people are doing such things for power, they're even selling their souls. I told you the man said, the pastor said that Beyonce, I heard her on YouTube say that when she go on stage, when she lifts her hand in worship to the devil, that a spirit into her. She said it out of her mouth. She's a beautiful, beautiful African American, extremely beautiful. Like she's doing something special to her skin. She glows. Whatever she puts on her legs and her hands, you look at her. She's glowing. And her skin is like silk. They said that she sacrificed her first baby to the devil so she could have the power she has. She said when she raised her hand and worshiped, that this demon into her, and the demon sings and dance. She said, I can't dance like this without being possessed. He's the one, the demon that's in her. She called his name too. I don't remember the name. He's the one that dances. He's the one that sings. People are selling their souls for riches. And then our young people are following them because they're beautiful and they sing so melodious for their God. We ought to instruct our people. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 31, let's look at verse 11. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them into a tree, buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. See, all that Saul was doing came back to him. But the people loved Saul. They loved Saul because he was their first king. They loved Saul. And they treat him different to how he treated them. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 9, 2 Kings chapter 9, glory to God. We're not going to keep you too long today. I got a call early this morning to go look at something, but I'm not going to go look at that today. No. 1 Kings. Hallelujah. Oh, 2 Kings, chapter 9. Hallelujah, Jesus. 2 Kings, chapter 9, and verses 10. Listen. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the service of his Lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication. And they said, it is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus, spake he to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put under him on the top of the spears and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi conspired against them, against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him. And when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria, and Jehu said, if it be your mind, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it to Jezreel. No, you see the wickedness? Jehu wanted to be king. Now, the king coming back from battle, he is wounded. He coming back to be healed, get the bandage and the medication that he needed, oil and wine put on his cuts, his sores, and be bandaged up. So Jehu wants everybody that is not in his circle to be killed. This is wickedness. So that the word would not get to the king, that he don't force the people to anoint him as king. This is wickedness. He said, don't let nobody escape from the city. Kill them all. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel from Jerome, laid there. And Azariah, king of Judah, was come down to see Jerome. And there stood a watchman on the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet him, make them, and let him say, it is peace. So they went one horseman back to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? standing behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. See, Jehu did not allow the watchman to go back. Talking about wickedness. Wicked, the wicked and the righteous. He will not allow the messenger to go back to warn them. Listen. Then he sent out his second horse back. That's the second red on the horse. Which came to them and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. Now get behind me. Get in this fallen line behind me. The watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for the driving furiously. Now he says, the one that's on the wall is talking to the king. And he's saying, look, the way that these people are riding, it looks like Jehu. He has a certain style of riding. He rides a certain way. He holds his horse a certain way. You can see his chariot, how his chariot is moving. It seems like that's Jehu. And he's moving in a furious way. He's like he's coming to battle. And Joram said, make ready his chariot. Make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Jerome, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, and each in his chariot, and they went against Jehu, and met him in the portion of Nebah, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Jerome saw Jehu that he said, it's peace. Jehu answered, and he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. And Jerome turned his hands and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, or Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jeroboam between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bichri, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Nabal, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Nabal and the blood of his sons, said the Lord. And I will requite thee in this plat, said the Lord. Thou therefore take and cast them into the plat of ground, according to the word of the Lord. Now see, what you do will come back to you. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Now, no one went to rob this Naboth of his field, his inheritance. It has needed it. And Jezebel used all of her skills, her wicked skills, to get that vineyard for Ahab. Even though Ahab had all of everything that he had more than enough. But now, the son is going to bury in the field. Listen, let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Glory to God. Easy on 4 and 16. Endless crowds stood around him. But then another generation grows up and rejects him too. So it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Now this one here is talking about the futility of political power. And this is what Solomon says, verse 13. He said, it is better to be a poor but wise youth than an old foolish king who refuses all advice. Such a youth could rise from poverty and succeed. He might even become king, though he has been in prison. But then everyone rushes to the side of yet another youth who replaces him. He said, endless crowds stand around him. But then another generation grows up and rejects him too. So it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. See, most people are going after the riches of the world instead of the wisdom of God. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We almost finished. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and let's start. You can read this whole book. This book is so so powerful. And let's start at verses 13. Here is another bit of wisdom that has impresses me as I have watched the way our world works. There was a small town with only a few people, and a great king came with his army and besieged it. A poor wise man knew how to save the town, and so it was secured. But afterward, no one thought to thank him. So even though wisdom is better than strength, those who are wise will be despised if they are poor. What they say will not be appreciated for long. Better to hear the quiet words of a wise person than the shouts of a foolish king. Listen to Solomon. This is so powerful. Solomon was so bad. He had some stuff, man. Better to have wisdom than weapons of war. But one sinner can destroy much that is good. We're talking about the wicked and the righteous. One sinner can destroy much that is good. We got to be careful who we allow to get close to us. You can read this whole chapter. It's very, very powerful. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I like that. I like there what Solomon says, though. Oh, that was so powerful. Jesus, have mercy. He said, it's better to have wisdom than weapons of war. Hallelujah. He said, but a sinner can destroy much that is good. When you got people running our country and telling you what the Christians should do and should not do, and we should submit to the LGBTQA+. We should reject the word of God, and they're trying to move everything that is godly. And you got a lot of preachers that are sizing with this foolishness, because they hate Trump so much that they settle for the sinful leading of this president. And that's why we are suffering now. Proverbs chapter 10. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. Let us go up and do a little bit more of this. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivered from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. He said, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The wise, some people you can talk to. They have wisdom. They're wise enough to know that you are giving them what they need to live. You're speaking the word that brings life. Proverbs said that death and life, 18 and 21, are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. You can choose to speak life, or you can strive to speak death. You know, a lot of people, man, I feel so bad today. I don't know what I'm going to do. You're speaking death. But you can say, well, my body's hurting, aching, but I thank God he's my healer. There's a difference. He says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrows to it. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 10 and 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. What are we speaking? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. This is Proverbs 10, 12, and 13. 10, 11, 12, and 13. Listen to what he says. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 10 and 14. This is the word of God. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Listen to what Solomon is saying. This is so powerful. I mean, I love the book of Proverbs. Computer acting up a little bit here. What's going on? Yes. This is all through this book. He is speaking. Listen to what he says. Proverbs 10 and 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. We got to watch. A lot of times you see people run their mouth. Most wise people will listen. My pastor used to say, he said, I can listen to a person talking. He says, and I can know that person. I can know their heart in 5 minutes. I let them just talk. He says, I just let them talk. And they talk. He said, and I'm listening because he said they would say more than they say. And, you know, he was talking probably, but as I got old, I understand what he was saying. A lot of people, if you listen carefully, they will tell you who they are. I mean, don't get me moved by what they're saying. You got to be moved by what they're not saying. Pay attention to what they're not saying. They're saying a lot. Not out their mouth, but their spirit. You got to listen. Glory to God. Let's go to Psalms. This book is full of
this book here. Let go, stay there in chapter 10. He says, let's stay in chapter 10. Oh, my God. He says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous knows what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Listen to Solomon. That's chapter 10, verse 31 and 32. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity, ones who hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Read that chapter for yourself on time. Chapter 10 of Proverbs. It's a powerful chapter of wisdom, telling you how you should be. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Psalm 24. And let's see what else we can put up in there. There's so much inside there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. Listen to what he says. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Psalm 24, verse 3. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. We got to seek the Lord, and we have to continue to praise him. We have to exalt his holy name. The Bible says that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. We show you this man that tore down his old barn and built. He tore down his old barns and built one barn so big. He thought he could save everything, store everything that he had, and that it would be so great. He could have so much. He could have such a good time. He could eat and drink. That's what he said, eat and drink and be merry. But he didn't consider his soul. Isn't that like we got two jobs? We have one job, then we'll get another job, and we'll get another job. Why? Because we want to impress our neighbors. Let us go to James chapter 4. I'm going to give you some more scriptures. Thank you, Lord. This was another sermon I have, but I'm going to tie it in here. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep my son Benjamin in prayer. Keep him that he keep his head right. Yeah, keep him in prayer. James chapter 4, and let's look at verse 13 to 16. I'm putting it here in the computer. Hallelujah, Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 13. And it talks about boasting. And now, he said, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry
on business and make profit. You who do not know what will happen tomorrow, what your life will be like, for you are a smoky vapor that appears for a short time and then disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. Now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Verse 17 says, therefore, to the one who knows to do good and do not do it, to him it is sin. See, we ought to speak what God has called us to speak. The Greek phrase used here aims to gain the audience attention rather heading into a serious discussion. What will happen tomorrow? James condemned rich business owners for their arrogance, self-confidence. He accuses them of acting as though they alone determine the course of their lives apart from God. How so many of us that we somehow or somewhat seem to put God out of the picture when we begin to grow and we begin to accumulate substances, we forget about God. We get to know we got our own house. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 27:1. Listen to what he says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He said, let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. This is what Paul, Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. A lot of time we don't want to take correction. If you go, we read this scripture early in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 20. Sometimes we forget that it's God that's doing all the stuff for us. He's the one who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. We're talking about the wicked and the righteous. The wicked and the righteous. Ezekiel chapter 14. Condemnation of Israel, idolatrous elders. And the man from the elders of Israel came to me, and they sat before me, and the word of God came to me, saying, son of man, these men took up the idols into their hearts, and they placed before themselves a stumbling block of their guilt. Should I really let myself be consulted by them? Therefore speak with them, and you must say to them, thus says the Lord, every person from the house of Israel who brings up his idols into his heart and place before himself a stumbling block of his guilt, and yet he comes to the prophet, I, God, I will respond to him this act with respect to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take hold of the house of Israel by their heart. Those who are estranged from me, all of them, through their idols, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, return and turn away from your idols and from all of your detestable things. turn away your faces. For each person from the house of Israel and from the alien who dwell as an alien in Israel, who separate himself from following me and brings up his idol into his heart and place before himself a stumbling block of his guilt, and yet he comes to the prophet to consult him concerning me, I, God, will answer him myself. Verse 8. And I will set my face against that person. Listen to God. When we live in this idealistic world where people are doing things that they believe that's going to cause them to prosper, God turns his face away from them. God is not hearing them. God is not moving on their knees. They're making long words, long praise, and all this stuff. Still want God to bless them, excuse me, even though they're doing idol worship. They're going to the tarot card reader, to the palm reader, the crystal ball reader. They're going down to the psychic. Hallelujah. They're getting, reading their horoscopes, all this stuff. But still they want to pray and ask Jehovah God to bless them, to protect their family. He said, I will set my face against that person, and I will make him to be a sign and make him into the subject of Proverbs. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you will know that I am God. And the prophet, if he is deceived and he speaks a word, I, God, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Verse 10. And they will bear their guilt, like the guilt of the inquirer, so the guilt of the prophet will be. Verse 11. So that the house of Israel will not go astray against me, again from me, excuse me. And they will not make themselves unclean again with all of their transgressions. And there will be for me a people, and I will be for them as God, declares the Lord Yahweh. God speaks very clearly. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to hear what he's saying here. See, God sees all. He knows all. He knows all. Sometimes we get so involved and so high-minded that we forget that God sits high and he sees low. We forget that. The leaders of the exile community may have visited Ezekiel on a regular basis, acknowledging his role as spiritual leadership as a prophet and priest of God. Hallelujah. The elders were present during Ezekiel's visionary experience in chapter 8 of Ezekiel, verse 1. And he reported the vision to them in full in chapter 11, verse 25. They came to inquire of Ezekiel again in chapter 20 and 1. Whether they fully accepted Ezekiel's authorities is unclear, since he criticized them for their lack of total commitment to God. The preachers today ought to see that the people, when the people are going around and really chastise them. But no, the preachers today don't say nothing to the people. They just want the people to be happy. Happy-go-lucky. When God said we should rebuke them when they're going astray from him, so that they will know that he is a serious God and he is serious about his love, his worship, his praise. The phrase can be taken literally or metaphorically. The elders might be literally guilty by wearing some sort of magical amulet around their necks. Or they may simply be guilty of devotion to other gods, idols in their hearts. this word that God speaks through the prophet. They have idols in their hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we can come into the house of the Lord and we could be so pretending to be so holy, but our hearts are not with God. Our hearts are somewhere else. We are worshiping other things. We're thinking about how much money we can make this week to accomplish our needs or our wants. And our hearts are not. So we are worshiping those things that we are in need of or looking for. Now he says, the Hebrew word used here, Zelilim, appears only in the plural in the Old Testament and always in reference to idols. The biblical use is intentionally insulting and disparaging because Zelilim is based on the word gel, meaning down or fill. Chapter 4, verse 12 of Ezekiel, and Job chapter 20 and 7. A stumbling block for their guilt. The connection with Ezekiel chapter 7 and 19 suggests the people in exile are being condemned for idolatry in the same terms as those in Judah and Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 20. I really let myself be consulted by them. God will not listen, will not allow the people to come and talk. They can talk, but he will not hear them because of their idol worship. When we are worshiping other things and then we come to seek out God and talk to God, God is not hearing. We wonder why things are not happening. Because we have a stumbling block or hindrance in our lives that would not allow our praise, our worship to get through to God. God has turned his face away from us. The rhetorical question highlights the spiritual unworthiness of the elders. They seek the guidance of God, but they hedge their bets with their devotion to other gods. See, we put a hedge, a blockage. Even though we're trying to seek God, we forget that we have a Buddha temple in our home. We have a temple of Mother Mary in our house, a little box, a little statue that we light incense or candles to, and we worship it. But yes, we want to go talk to the Supreme God and expecting him to move. No, he's not going to move. He told you that. He told Ezekiel, I'll turn my face away from them. He told Jeremiah, I will not hear when you pray for them. He comes to the prophet. The answer is to the question in verse 3. It appears to be yes. The people can come and inquire of God, even in the midst of their idolatry. The response they receive from him will depend on whether they experience a change of heart, if they come in with a heart of repentance. See, we forget that. We ought to be stressing that every chance that we get, that people need to repent, even if they seem to be coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every Saturday morning, or however they come, when we open the business. We ought to stress for repentance because we don't know where the people are at. We don't know what they're doing. We ought to tell them how important it is them to clear their heart, clear the door to their hearts, to their soul. I may take hold of the house of Israel by their hair. God allows them to approach and inquire precisely so that he might give them an opportunity to restore their relationship with him. How did they restore their relationship? With repentance. Turn away from their sinful acts. He said, return. Turn away from your idols. Wherever you've been worshiping, whatever you've been worshiping, you got to repent for it. And let it go. Don't come in and say, God, I'm so sorry. I've been looking into the crystal ball. I've been using a magician wand. I've been using all these powders and all these candles and all this incense and stuff. And calling some other God's name out. God of the sun, God of the moon, God of the stars, and God of earth, God of the water. All this stuff I've been saying. God, I repent. And then you got to say, well, I repent. And then you go back and you go home and you bring out your this and bring out your that, your Ouija board, your crystal ball, your
tarot cards and all that stuff, and you're flipping stuff and looking at the stars and looking at the horoscope. No, you don't do that. Once you repent, you take that stuff and put it in the trash can. You put in a can in the backyard and you put some kerosene or diesel on it, and you light it, you burn up all that stuff. You burn up all those books that you've been chanting out of. The people may have come to God seeking a word of hope and salvation, addressing their captivity. They receive instead a word that cut to the core of their hearts of their spiritual problem. The barrier that idolatry had created between them and God. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 to 32. He told them that their detestable things, the Hebrew term here, can refer to anything offensive in context. It refers to sacrilegious offensive. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 9. God will answer myself. God said he would answer himself. The repentance commanded in verse 6 is required before further inquiry. If anyone fails to repent before seeking God, they will find him. But his purpose in answering will be judgment. You hear that? If you refuse to repent while seeking God, the answer you will get will be judgment, not forgiveness. He said, I will set my face against that person. That is, God will turn in judgment on them and renounce a sentence. The gesture is a common way of turning attention to a person or object before pronouncing such judgment against them. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 2. Ezekiel 13 and 17. God commands Ezekiel to set his face towards the object of his prophetic condemnation. He talks about a sign and make him into the subject of Proverbs. The punishment would stand as an example for others not to follow the same path. Job chapter 17 and 16. I will cut him off from the midst. Glory to God. He said, I will cut him off from the midst of the people. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Anyone consulting a practitioner of magic was punished by God setting his face against them. They would then be cut off from the people. I, God, have deceived that prophet. In other words, God's not going to let the prophet be speaking true, favorable deliverance to that person when that person is living an idolatristic way. See? So God deceived the person. He said, the prophet. He said, Ezekiel's retort seems to be based on 1 Kings chapter 22, where all the prophets declaring victory for Ahab, king of Israel, have been misled by a lying spirit. Only the prophet Micah declares the truth, that Israel will be defeated and Ahab will die. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 13 to 23. I will stretch out my hand, a common idiom for divine judgment. It is used most frequently by Ezekiel, but is based on Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. They will bear their guilt. This is what God is saying. They will bear their guilt for worshiping idols and giving the worship that is only for me, they will be judged for that. So A1 come refer A1 can refer to both the offense and its punishment, compares Ezekiel's symbolic bearing of the people's punishment or iniquity, Ezekiel chapter 4 and 4. Ezekiel will not go astray again. Israel, in this book here of Ezekiel, as God was saying to them in verse 11, they will not go astray again. Hallelujah. The goal of the discipline is to restore the relationship between God and man. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. God now declares that once they have repented and turned away from their wickedness and turned to righteousness, that they will become his people and he will become their God. A basic statement of the covenant relationship, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 20. See, this is what God, this is all God is designed to have, is to have a covenant relationship with his people. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And we pray that we have said something today, said something that touched the heart of somebody today. Lord, our only objective is to declare your truth, to glorify your name, to edify your body, and to terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name. There may be somebody out there today that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we want to give you an opportunity to receive him. The Bible says that your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity before God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will go enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," Romans 3 and 23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own effort. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Number three, you must believe that only Jesus can take you to heaven. Jesus says in his word in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me." Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said that he is the only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as the only way, the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, Acts 16 and 31. Some may say, "I'm still young." And we know a lot of people say, "Well, I don't need Jesus. I don't need this. I don't need that because I'm young. I got a lot of life to live." And that is a great mistake. I would like to say two things. You do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in all days. How will your life be on that day when he returns? Think about it. Because the only way to reach that blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22 and 7, he said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." He didn't say, "I was coming quick." He said, "I'm coming quickly." That means quicker than quick. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 3, verse 36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16. The Bible said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3 and 17. The Bible also said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that is John 3 and 19. Hallelujah. Peter said to them, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's in Acts 2 and 38. The Bible said that there's no name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. It's so important that we get this thing inside of us that we need to be saved. We need to be sanctified, which means that we need to be set apart. You know, this is not just saying that I'm saved and because somebody said a prayer of salvation. It's more than just receiving a prayer. It's living the prayer. He says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That is Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and 23. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and 8, God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son to die on the cross to give us access to him, give us access to the tree of life. But it's more than just saying a prayer. You know, Peter come up and say, well, let me come and let me pray for you to receive the gift of salvation. And that is good. We run to the altar, we bow down, we listen to the pastors, run through the scriptures to us and bring us to a place of conviction that we know we don't want to go to hell. Nobody want to go to hell. But people go to hell because they decide that they're gonna live to please their flesh. You know, they're gonna live to please their flesh. And when you live to please your flesh, this is where you end up. You end up in hell. Hell is always waiting. You know, the Bible says it's never full. Hell has enlarged its mouth. So we have to make sure that we gotta get our mind set right to live and do what God called us to do. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm a preacher, and they will preach very prolific before you and anointed preaching, but then they go home and fight with their husband. Female pastor, so on, or a male pastor, and they go home and cuss his wife out, you know, and not knowing that all of this is still worship, all this is still praise. God is watching us. God is listening to us, so we go home and we act a fool, and we forget that the worship does not end because that you leave the building. The building is just the building. The building is not the church. You are the church. I'm the church. We are the church. So when we leave the building, we got to make sure that we keep in with a mindset of worship, because God God is watching us. He's listening to us. We got to be very careful. God is paying attention to everything we say and everything that we do. How do I respond to my wife? How do I respond to my friend? How do I respond to people that I work for? You know, I went out yesterday evening to do a little work. This lady had owed me some money. And I figured, well, I'll be at a house for about an hour or so, 2 hours, and I was going to charge her $300 for my time. It was hot in that place. I was soaking wet. And she got me a couple of jobs, but she said, well, I could see in her face she didn't want to pay $300. So I said, look, what are you worried about? She said, well, she gave me $150 plus the money she had owed me. I said, oh, don't worry about it. Because you can't let nobody speak evil of you. The Bible said, don't let your good be evil spoken of. You have to make sure that you carry yourself. You are responding to people the way God would want you to respond. Everything got to be how would God do it? You know, we say, what would Jesus do? Now, we say that that was a cliche that they had, you know. They had the plate, they had the stamp, they had the banner, they had all that stuff. What would Jesus do? And the people had it on the tag of the car. They put it on the back of the car, lipstick on the car. They had shirts, T-shirts made. What would Jesus do? And it looked good. We have a seat, because that means I'm saved. And he said, what would Jesus do? But we end up doing, acting, contribute to how would Jesus do. We just have all the things, the cliches and stuff, but we don't truly have the attributes. You know, we don't truly have them. We don't operate in that realm, and God wants to get us operating in that realm, because the man up there on the cross, on the altar, he has a cross, he has his robe. I got 3 or 4 robes inside there, nice ones too. And they got a nice, I got a nice cross with a lot of bling on it. That's nice. I got it from random countries. But that don't make me holy. What make you holy is when your obedience to Christ, to God's word. Even if your husband, if your wife is acting a fool, that don't mean you act a fool. I'm going to show her. I'm going to go get me a young girl. I'm going to show him. I'm going to get a young man who going to tell me all the stuff I need to hear. No, you will find yourself in hell. Don't try to do to somebody what they do to you. You know, if they treat you bad, you're going to treat them bad too. No, you got to understand that you belong to Christ. We got to understand we belong to God, and we got to act God-like. And they're not act, but we got to be God-like. I hate the word act. You know, we can't act God-like. We got to be God-like. Our lifestyle must portray who he is. Somebody must say, man, that's a godly woman right there. I can tell the truth. She's a godly woman. I know her husband, man. Her husband working down the street, and he act a fool, man. Oh, man, he go to the club. But look, man, that woman, every time you look around, she in the house of the Lord. Oh, she's helping people. He's helping people. Yeah, his wife is acting a fool, but you can't tell that his wife is acting a fool because he's act different. He's not doing things like she does. You know, you can't go, hey, you better act a fool, you're going to act a fool. No. Even if you're better getting this stuff or not, you don't get it like that. You said, no, I belongs to God. I'm representing God, so I got to carry myself a certain way. I got to do a certain thing. No, you got to. It's a whole lot. Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, for those that receive the gift of salvation. The Bible says you have to be baptized, though, you know, because you just repent and you ask God to come into your heart, but you also have to. You have to be baptized, because that's part of salvation. And according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, you have to be baptized. You know, baptism is part of your, it's part of salvation. You know, you might hear people say, well, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. Well, he was in a different dispensation. You know, a lot of people get caught up in that, and they want to start a whole dispute about that. You know, a big argument. The thief on the cross, no, he was in a different dispensation. He didn't have to get baptized, but in this dispensation that we're in, we have to be baptized because God says so. So, you want to call up your friends and your family. And let them know, invite them. Because even your enemies, I say that. God tell me that. It's not in the Bible. God told me that way back in 2010. You want to invite your enemies. You might be saying, well, why would I want my enemies to be at my baptism? Because, see, you want them to know that you mean business. You're not just saying that. You mean business. You want them to see. You want your family members that always thought that you was a nut. That you mean business. You know, when you can say, well, I'm going to get baptized. But when people see you going down that water and they see that you really mean business, they're going to say, man, and now you got to live. See, because once you come out that water, now baptism really starts. You went down the water, but now you got to live the baptism. People say, well, I pastor laid hands on me. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. But are you living a sanctified life? See, it's not just what I say, it's what I do. You got to live it. You start, you go to church, and then you start to do something. You got to do something. You say, well, I'm not the preacher. You don't have to be the preacher. So when you give your life to Christ, you receive the ministry of reconciliation.
that means that you can reconcile somebody else. You're going to leave somebody else out. You know, he brought you to land then, so you can go back in the land then and leave somebody else out. He said, well, I don't know all them scriptures. You don't have to know all them scriptures. All you need to know is you have a testimony. The Bible said you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and you no longer love your life unto death. That means that you have given your life completely to Christ Jesus. You have overcome all the attacks of the enemy. Satan has been defeated. Hallelujah. You are no longer in bondage. Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. So now you can testify. You can declare your testimony that you are saved, you are sanctified, that you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what happened is that Satan now have to back up. And when people hear you start to share your testimony, they say, man, that girl, that boy, man, he really saved. Man, look at how his life is changing. Why? Because you're testifying now that you're acknowledging that you have been delivered. You have been set free. Hallelujah. And people will come to know God because of the words that you speak, not because that you know the Bible. You know, you can say a lot of scriptures to people, but when you live the scriptures, it changes people's lives. People look at you and say, man, that girl, I've been watching that guy. Man, I can tell you for truth that he is truly saved. He truly saved. Man, he don't do nobody no wrong. And if you do him wrong, he still do good to you. You know, that's the life that God wants us to live. So I just thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation and the ones that can be baptized. You call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know to baptize in Jesus' name. Because some people are going to tell, well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and 19 to go into all to the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus. But that the revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. You know, that's the revelation. They equal Jesus. He said, in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead, in Jesus. The Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. So when you say Jesus, you're saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because in him, the Bible says, dwell the fullness of the Godhead. So you want somebody that's going to baptize you in the Godhead, in Jesus' name. And then you got your family and all them, you're going into this water. They call it a liquid grave. You're going down, and you're submitting to Jesus. And you are denouncing Satan, that Satan and his agents no longer have dominion or control over your life. That's what you're making, an open declaration, open proclamation that Satan and his agents, the witches and warlocks, no longer have dominion over you, that you have given your life completely and wholly to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and that you are now become his servant. You was once his servant to sin, now you become his servant to righteousness. So you're going down that water, dying to sin, and coming up a life to righteousness. And once you come up out that water, find a church that is preaching and teaching the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're not going looking to judge nobody, point your finger at the pastor, the bishop, but you're looking for a place that will preach that is preaching the word that will cause your soul to regenerate. Every time you hear the word, your soul get richer and richer. And oh my God, you get more excited because you're hearing life. You're hearing life. This is what the word does to you. It gives you life. Hallelujah. I remember going to Africa with blockage, 75% blockage in my arteries and 35% blockage in another one. And glory to God, doctor was telling me, don't go, my heart surgeon. I said, well, I got to go because I'm going into the slums. You know, I'm not going to make money. I'm not going to do a crusade to make money, but I'm doing a crusade to win souls. And when I went there, I could hardly breathe. But when I come back, I could breathe good. Well, and doctor said, well, you're doing good. Rev, you're doing good. And when he saw me, he said, I don't have to see you for 6 months. And every time I see him now, he said, every 6 months. Why? Because God is keeping me. He's keeping me. Not because I'm perfect, but because of his love for me, for us. He's keeping us. That's the only reason that we're here, when people are getting shot down, stabbed and knocked down with baseball bats all over this place.
and we can go this place and go that place and go into bad neighborhoods and where people get shot down. I mean, and you go in there and do your work and come out and then shoot and start off, you leave. You know it's God. So I just thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation, those that receive at a later date. And we pray God blessings over everyone that's on the line. A lot of people jump off now because I'm finished preaching. And we pray that those that heard the word, that the word will make a difference in their lives. You determine either you wicked on the wicked side or you on the righteous side. That's what the word is about. You know, don't mind that the wicked seem like they're prospering. Their prosperity will not last. You stay on the side of the righteous. You'll get your riches after you leave here. You're going to get some while you're here, but you're going to get the real riches when you leave here. You're going to get a ring of sonship or daughtership. All of us going to be sons. But you're going to get a ring of sonship. You're going to get your slippers of gold, your helmet of peace. You're going to have it all. You're going to have the crown of glory. That's what we're living for. That's the riches we're looking for. But I thank you all so much for hearing me out today. If anybody has a word they want to share, you can come on in. We'll give you a few minutes. If not, we're going to pray and close out. And we'll be back here tomorrow. The line will be back. I don't know if I'm preaching, but the line will be back and open. If I don't have somebody, I'll come back. The line are open. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for those that came on. We ask you to bless all those that heard this word today, Lord God. We ask you to protect them as they go forth from this here line today, Lord. We ask, Father, as you continue to watch over us, Lord, that you will continue to fill us to overflow and cause our cups to overflow like David cup, Lord God. We ask you to continue to anoint us as you appointed us, O God, to declare and decree your truth. Lord, that what we speak, O God, would manifest. Lord God, that we'll be the vessel that you call us to be, O God. Lord, we ask for fresh anointing, fresh deliverance, fresh restoration, O God, in the spirit, God. Lord, we ask you to fill us up and cause our cups to overflow. Our desire, Lord, is to serve you, to worship you, O God, to continue to watch over the sheep that you allow us to minister to, Lord, that we minister love, we minister compassion, that we minister grace each time we get an opportunity, Lord, that we speak the truth in love, Lord God. And Lord, we pray, God, as we speak, Lord God, let the words that we speak and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord God and you are our Redeemer. Lord, we bless your name. We praise your name. We honor you today. Now, God, as we leave this line but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, Lord, and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, Lord. Lord, we are not asking for blessings so that we can act or boast like we are more than somebody else, but we are asking for blessings to come to us so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, O God. We ask, Father God, for healing, that you release healing in the atmosphere, that you begin to heal those, even as they hear the sound of our voice, Lord God. Let the healing, O God, pass through us to them, O God, that they might recognize, O God, that it's you working through us, Lord God. And as you touch their body, Lord, heal cancer today. Heal lupus today. Heal gout today. Somebody suffering with gout in their feet, in their hands, in their fingers, Lord. We ask you to heal today, Lord God. Lord, we pray against every form of cancer. Every form, breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer, Lord, lung cancer, Lord God, eye cancer, brain cancer. Oh, God, we pray against every form of cancer today, Lord. We come against it, oh, God. We declare the blood of Jesus covering everyone right now. Everyone that had a bad report from the doctor about having cancerous cells in their body that is operational, we command that cancer to dry up and die right now. That the next time they go back to the hospital, oh, God, that they will not see, confine the cancer. Lord, we pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson and her sister. And Lord, we come against that breast cancer right now. Lord, we declare and decree, God, that it's being healed. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the healing power, the healing power of Gilead. We, oh, the healing balm. Lord, we pray, oh, God, that the land of the tribe of Judah, Lord, God, would do what he can do. He is the champion. He is the warrior. He is the mighty battle ox. And we pray that he'll do what only he can do, that he defeat cancer right at the root, at the cause, right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against high blood pressure. Oh, God, we come against high cholesterol right now. In the name of Jesus, we come against emphysema. Oh, God, we come against asthma. Oh, God, we come against it right now. So many people are suffering from asthma because even those that are suffering that had the COVID and the lungs are acting up, we come against it right now. We ask you to strengthen those, oh, God, that are going through the after effects of the virus, Lord God. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your omnipotent presence. We thank you for your omnipresence, your omniscient presence. Lord, we thank you for being all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing God, the one who watches over us, the one who keeps us in the midst of the shadow of death. Lord, you keep us, Lord. Oh, Lord, you protect us. Lord, we thank you right now. We bless you. Thank you for Minister Jones as he comes on and spend time with us in his busy schedule. Lord, we ask you, God, to keep his wife, keep his mother, the prophetess Kirshi. Lord, we pray for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray, oh, God, for Minister Jones' wife, Lord God, Mr. Jones. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus from Brother Deacon Fraser. Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence in our midst, because in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, we lift up Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington. Lord, we thank you. We thank you and praise you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us. Lift up my family, my sons, my son and my daughters, my grandson and granddaughters, my great-grandchildren, great-grandsons, my great-granddaughters. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we just bless your name. We praise you. Lord, if we had 1,000 towns, Lord, we could not praise you enough for all that you have done, all that you are doing, oh God. What a mighty God we serve, God. We pray for the President of the United States of America. We pray for the Congress, the Senators, the Vice President. We pray for the administration, Lord. Lord, we are praying, oh God, even right now for the Supreme Court Justice Department. Lord, we know, God, that only you can protect them. You're the only one that can keep them. This world is turning so evil, Lord. We know, God, that you say that sin is everywhere, but we know that grace is also everywhere. Yes, Lord God, we just thank you right now for loving us in spite of how we lived before. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, oh God, sending your son. Father God, we thank you for sending your son to give his life on the cross that we might have access to the fruit of life, the tree of life, oh God, the fountain of life. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for every preacher, every apostle, every bishop, oh God, every evangelist, every teacher, Lord God. Oh, Father, we pray, God, that you touch the fivefold ministry, even the ushers, Lord. We pray for the janitor in the church building, Lord God. We pray for the nurses in the church building that stands there on guard, oh God, for if anything goes wrong, they're quick to take care, bring a smelling sauce or water or juice or stuff for the preachers, for the people of God. Lord, we're praying right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you continue to manifest your glory, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for her prophetess, Kirshi, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you watch over her, that you keep her safe and secure as she travels in highways, going places to preach, to minister your word. We ask, God, that you open doors for her that no one can close, God, that you make it possible, oh God, that her name be great, great for you, Lord God, great in this earth, that people know that she is your ambassador. Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you. We praise you, oh God. We praise you, Lord God. We ask you, God, to watch over Bishop James, oh God, to keep him safe, Lord. Keep him safe, as oh Lord God. We ask for strength for his body, Lord God. Lord, as his body, as he get older, Lord, as we all getting older, Lord, and our bodies are trying to give upon us, Lord, we call upon you, Lord, because you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God. You're the only one that can give us the strength that we need to continue, Lord God. We depend on you. We are relying on you, Jesus. Oh, God, to do what for us what only you can do, Lord. You're the only one that can give us the grace and the mercy that we need to continue, Lord God. Give us the strength. Strengthen us where we are weak, Lord God. And where we are strong, make us even stronger, Lord God, that we'll be the ambassadors, oh God, that when the devil sees us and say, we can't do nothing to them, they belong to Christ. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you show up and be part of everything that we are doing. Show up in our midst, oh God. Oh God, be our God, be our Lord, be our Savior, our strong tower, Lord God. Almighty by the arts, oh God. God, we are thankful. We are depending on you. We are asking you, God, to lead us. Lead us, God. Lead us and we will follow, Lord. Just lead us, Jesus. Lead us and we will follow, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you more than ever, Lord God. Lord, we need your presence. We need your anointing, Lord God. Yes, Lord, we need your restoration. We need your deliverance. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need you, Father. We need you, Father. Come on in our midst, Lord. The songwriter said, come on in the room. We need you to come on in, Jesus. We open the door to our hearts and we invite you to come on in. Oh, Father, we ask you to touch our pastor. I think Minister Jones' wife, was she on her job, Lord? We ask your God to give us supernatural traveling mercy, Lord. Give us supernatural favor, Lord God. Give a promotion on her job, Lord God. We ask you to watch over her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. God, we ask you to let your word be a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path. God, we ask for you to, oh God, Lord, let her light shine in the office that when her managers or supervisors see, Lord God, they will know that she is a woman of God, that she has been approved, anointed and approved by you, Lord God, to carry the mantle of grace, the mantle of mercy, Lord. We ask you to touch her, Lord God. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let the anointing destroy every yoke, remove every burden. Lord, we ask, Father God, let her marriage, oh God, continue to grow, get stronger, Lord God. We ask you, Father God, we release the power of the blood of Jesus over her children. Oh, Father God, everything that concerned her, Lord, you said you will perfect that which concerned her. And, Lord, we ask right now that you keep her in perfect peace as her mind is stayed on you. Oh, God, we pray for Minister Butmos. Oh, Father God, she is married. Her husband is still in Nigeria, and she's here in America. But, Father, we pray now that the doors that have been closed be opened, that he'll get the pastor to come on in. He got his papers and everything already, just waiting, oh God, for the release of the government so that he can travel. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that stronghold be broken. We pray that it be broken, let it be broken, that he could come on in and be with his wife. It's hard for a husband to be in one country and his wife be in another country. Lord, we ask, Lord God, for you to pull down that stronghold. Break it down, Lord Jesus. Break it down. Break down the stronghold. Break down that stronghold. And let the door be open that he can come on in. I know that she's worried about her husband. She wants her husband to be here with her. Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask for protection over our kids, over our grandkids, our great-grandkids. Lord, protect the children. Protect the school system against these demonic forces that are infiltrating the schools, all about homosexualism and same-sex marriage and all this stuff that they're teaching in the schools, oh God, and causing this satanic agenda is infiltrate the schools. They're teaching about Satan and all this stuff, and they're teaching in the schools now, but they're not teaching about Jesus. Lord, we ask you to infiltrate and remove these principles and these teachers that allow all this stuff to happen in the schools. Move them out of their position. Move them out by force or by fire, God. Move them out because they're trying to, oh God, they're trying to infiltrate the minds of our children and making our children think different. Lord, we ask you to move right now. Move right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Have your way, Jesus. And as you have your way, Lord, God, we will know that it's you moving in our midst because you're the only one that can do what you can do. And Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak into somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or even sodomizing a child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven." God bless you all today. Have a blessed day. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, where the Lord will give us a word for tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.